This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord, Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast that looks at the very fabric of our being through the lenses of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. But we polish those lenses up quite a bit. We call that Armodoxy, and we invite you to spend this next few minutes with us as we look at the world of fabric of life. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and brought to you by the good folks epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and, dare we say, expanding universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, I'm glad you're joining us today. I hope you are enjoying this summer. It's kind of weird, isn't it? I know here in Southern California, we have just these different, it's been a different summer. I mean, usually we enjoy these sunny days. We actually had a little bit of drizzle this morning, and I don't know, throughout the United States, all kinds of different weather patterns. I mean, wasn't it just like a couple weeks ago they were talking about in the Midwest and through the Mississippi there was all kinds of flooding, and today they're talking about drought conditions? I mean, where does all that water go? I mean, what happens to all that water? And I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world, but I'll tell you, here in the United States, it is really wild, the weather patterns. And I know I spoke with my son the other day, and they've got like a sandstorm that came about. It's like about 50 miles long and a couple miles high. If you saw the pictures, it was up on the internet, and all the news covered it. This was out in Phoenix. In fact, one of our listeners, Eddie from Chicago, he sent us a link to it, and I got to thank him for that, because I don't know if he figured out why that would interest me, but it did, because I've got a son out there in Phoenix. Wild! It was wild! I can't believe it. You look at those pictures and you say, what is going on? Well, whatever is going on, I hope you're doing well this summer. I hope you're getting by. We're going to be talking a little bit about vacating and what is a vacation. If you caught our diocesan television show, I spoke about it last week, and I got a couple of interesting comments. So I thought we'd bring it over to the next step, if you're okay with that. We'll take a step into vacations today. I do have a few letters I wanted to share with you today, and just thank you for joining us. We're going to have a different kind of podcast today, because we're going to be just going all over the place. I want to thank you for all of the email we received on the podcast last week. It was very encouraging. As you know, last week I went into, the topic was very personal. And, you know, it's a lonely life out here. I imagine it's the same thing in radio and in television, right? You stand in front of a camera, you sit in front of a microphone, and you talk. And you're hoping that somebody out there is listening. Somebody's tuning in to you. Well, in the world of podcasting, it's about the same thing. You've got this microphone, and you're talking into it, but there's an extra added dimension, right? It's not only asking for somebody to tune in, but you're also asking somebody to download you. Yeah, that extra step. You need to be downloaded so somebody will listen to you. So when I get those emails, and you know, they go a long way. You got to believe it. They really, really go a long way. And so many of you sharing your ideas. A couple of you, I know, received a beautiful letter from Janine up in, she's visiting here in California, and she got a chance to share one of her miracles with me. And you know, that in that sharing, as I mentioned last week, you know, it's all about this sense of community and this idea that we need to build together. We need to we need to share. We need to give to one another. And so for all of the beautiful things that you write in about how much this show means to you, what the messages mean to you, how it gets out, how it touches you, you've got to believe that your response to our message also carries us through, gets us through, gets us the necessary strength, encouragement for us to plow forward. So thank you very much for all the kind words and all of the email, even those little small ones. I know the ones that say, keep up the good work. I like those. You know, they just attack you. Keep up the good work. You're doing good. Thanks a lot. Good going, guys. I have a nephew up in San Francisco. When his father calls me, my brother, we're talking on the phone and everything. And then you could just picture him. He's 3 years old. He just all of a sudden like goes by the phone and he goes, bleh, bleh, bleh. He says something to us. Thank you for the uncle. You know, he says something. And it's just like this little dose. It's, you know what it is? It's like a booster shot, right? That's what your emails are. Those little ones, you know, keep up the good work. It's like a little boost. Just keeps us going, right? But you know, there's a lot of merit to doing this small thing. I don't know if you caught it. I believe it was on the local news this morning. Let me see if I could dig it. Here it is. Yes, this was reported this morning that the University of Iowa is offering scholarships. Well, let me see. It says University's Tippy College of Business is offering a full two-year scholarship to its MBA courses worth $34,000 to the applicant who most creatively answers the question, what makes you an exceptional Tippy MBA candidate and a full-time MBA hire? Well, okay, I mean, you know, all colleges offer scholarships and that's nice. But here's the twist. You have to do it in 140 characters. Uh-huh. Did you figure that out? Yes, you have to do it in a tweet. Yeah, they're using Twitter to apply for this scholarship. Can you articulate yourself in 140 characters? Can you say what you want to get across? I mean, think about it for a moment. How wild is that? I mean, it teaches the how to express oneself, how to articulate briefly and succinctly to get the message out. And it's like that, keep up the good work, right? It's like that little booster shot. Well, anyway, I don't know how far this is going to go, but I thought it was a fantastic idea, and we'll put a little link on our show notes so you could follow that along as well. And so all of this is to thank you for all the wonderful, wonderful notes and messages that you do send them. Long, short, doesn't matter. We appreciate getting them all. Well, we are at the portion where we do the song of the day. And today I'm going to do something a little bit different, and I hope you'll enjoy it. This week I marked the passing of someone very special in my life. My uncle passed away this week, and he was one that introduced me to many different kinds of music, primarily jazz. Now, this is an uncle that was born here in the United States, actually in Boston. He is the son of genocide survivors back in the 1920s. Imagine that. My grandparents came here to the United States from villages and from orphanages, and they actually got married here in the United States in the 1920s, and my uncle was their first child. And He grew up in the States and served in the United States military and passed away at a very ripe old age of 82. I guess that's ripe old age these days. I don't know. Somehow as you get closer to it, you don't want it to be too ripe, right? But anyway, we had so many wonderful years with him, and God blessed us with a lot of wonderful memories to share, including music. And I thought to myself, well, you know, should we play something? I want to dedicate a song to him because he did like music. And the songs that he enjoyed, he turned me on to actually Dizzy Gillespie. Yeah, there you go. that's it. Well, Ken knew I was going to go that route, too. Yeah, you got that. That's salt peanuts, of course. But I'm not going to go that route. My uncle did share a lot of his knowledge about jazz music with me, but there was another love that he had, and that's the route I want to go. Because I'm going to play you a song. It's an Armenian song, and it comes to us from the early times of the last century. I'd say circa 1920, when the Armenians arrived here and, well, throughout the world and created the diaspora. And those here in America would find one another, would find solace with one another, with their compatriots. For instance, my grandparents on that side, on my mom's side, were from the village of Palu. And from Palu, they would come and find others who were from the same village, from the same area. They would be known as Palutsis, people from Palu. And they would, of course, flock to one another. They would find solace. I mean, you've got to remember, after a genocide, and after being displaced, this is not like any other genocide. You're actually displaced. You've been exiled from your homeland. You've been exiled from everything that is familiar to you. So, of course, you come to America, and here's a generation that began to build, began to create life. I've shared this with you many times. I call them the God generation, because God took nothing and they created something. This was a generation that had absolutely nothing and somehow created life. And they would sit around and they would share music. And a lot of the music has reached us because some great people within our community have preserved it. Among them, Richard Hagopian. And I'm going to be playing you a song by Richard Hagopian. Actually, it's a song that was written by Udi Harant. Harant, of course, is his name. Udi means he's a master of the oud. He has mastered that oud and has this very special, unique title. This is a character from the early 20th century. And as you're listening to this, I want you to think about the idea that this is really a genre. It's very similar to the blues. So sort of think of it in the terms of Armenian blues. It is chanted. There is some disturbing tones in there. Disturbing in the sense that you could tell that this person's been there. Let me read to you the words as we listen to this. This is called Gurjit, which means our cottage. And we're going to be listening to it in just a minute. These are the words. In our cottage, poor, meek, and helpless. Your love is my castle. Day by day we work, then eat. You are my sole need. I am satisfied with a piece of dry bread and water. Humbly we shall eat, and I will watch and hope that you will be mine forever. You are sleeping and I am awake. I will watch over you with my blind eyes. Your sunny hazel eyes and your breath are like the winds of spring. We should never have envy of the rich, but rather our simple and humble life together, full of love, will itself be the envy of the wealthy. Here is Richard Hagopian, Gurjit by Udi Harant, and dedicated in memory of my Uncle Gil.
Ormuşayık ormudek
How was that? I told you it was something different, right? This is music that you don't hear too often. In fact, it's music that's sometimes looked down upon by a generation that has forgotten what it was like to be without. Here was a group of people that were trying to make sense out of the senseless. They were trying to make sense out of something so bizarre as genocide. They were trying to reach out to one another and at least find some kind of stability in a very unstable and shaky life. I mean, imagine being exiled, thrown out of your country, and then there you are. And these people would get together and they would sing. The music would give them hope, would give them a new life. And sometimes it was a downer. Maybe it was the blues, so to speak. But remember where blues came from. It came out of the slave camps of here in the United States. Think about the suffering that took place that came out as blues, and then later that blues turned into the jazz, turned into the rock music, turned into rock and roll as expressions of freedom. And so too, you hear it throughout all histories of people that music is so important in identifying that person. And this was just a little glimmer of it. Now, I got to tell you that this stuff does go back. Now, my uncle, I dedicated it to my uncle. He passed away this week. He was really into these singers. I mean, these were people that you can't find this. Right now, we enjoy these CDs. Now, the CD has one side. The originals of these appear on what we call the 78 RPM. I mean, they're not even made out of nylon. They're made out of like this really hard acrylic matter. What was it? Plastic. Like if you dropped it, it would break. Yes, I'm dating myself. I know. The CDs only have one side. I've got discs that have two sides. And they're not even 33s. They're not, forget about the 45s. These are 78s. One song per side. And you couldn't, and they'd travel so fast that you couldn't even see the label. And they'd make these noises like shh, 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 shh. know, they'd be going around and the needle would be hitting like these scratches and stuff. Oh, bringing back some memories and some singers like Manoog Janigyan, who would be singing a lot of neat things. Anyway, God rest your soul, Uncle Gil, and thank you all for indulging me a few minutes and a little bit of Armenian history that you don't hear too much, the Armenian history in the aftermath of genocide.
Spin me back down the years and the days of my youth. Draw the lace and black curtains and shut out the whole truth. Spin me down the long ages, let them sing the song.
Well, we said we'd talk a little bit about vacationing and vacating. Have you been vacating? Have you been vacationing? I think in the English language, there's such a beautiful word called recreation. I mean, you vacate and you have a recreation. And that word is just, think about it, recreate. You have an opportunity to recreate yourself. And I think this is so important, especially today in this day and age when we are really filled with stress-filled lives. And it's always amazing to me because, you know, the real stress-filled were the people that we just described a few minutes ago. And when you think about it, here it was a group of people that really went through genocide, watched not only their families, but watched a nation destroyed. And all of a sudden, they find themselves on the other side of the planet. And they are, well, beyond technology. There was no technology that we have today. Basically cut off from the world and ready to start again. And you could say that, yes, this definitely is a high-stress situation. And yet, somehow, they were able to cope. They were able to put that stress to one side. And today, we find means to put those stresses to one side. We find means, well, how? By paying for it. We have these gyms where you go and you basically walk. I mean, nobody would think about walking in the park or walking at the beach or just walking down the street. But you go and you stand on these treadmills and you start walking. And you say, I've walked like 2, 3, 4, 5 miles. All right, yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm walking on this treadmill. Or we create these environments where you go in there and you have to burn off some of the steam that has collected, that has been bottled up inside of you. And we spend millions, if not billions of dollars on recreating ourselves, on finding means of vacating, having vacations. And I'm not talking about just packing up the Winnebago. I'm not talking about taking a flight out to Europe or to South America. Vacations really within your life. I mean, what are drugs, right, but a vacation from the reality? I mean, whether you want to talk about illegal substances or legal substances, they are means of escaping the reality that you have. What about all of the obsession that we have with looks, with appearance, with cosmetics? You're talking about billions of dollars being spent every year just on refining and recreating a face, recreating an image. And we talk about these images that are sacred. And we've convinced ourselves that they're sacred. I mean, you look at what fashion is, what models are, and our children buy into that. And unfortunately, what happens as a result of that, their self-image dwindles, it goes down. You say that, you know, you have to look like this. These are the heroes. They've got six packs on their tummies. Their figures are voluptuous. They look beautiful. Long legs and basically some skeleton with skin drawn over them. That is the model. That is what we're going to do. And we have generations that are growing up thinking that there are these certain prototypes. And I'm not talking about the extremes on health. Yes, obviously, there are certain health issues that that warrant us to look in and really check out and say that, okay, I am overweight. Okay, I need to stop doing this. I need to get a little bit more exercise. I need to stop eating. I'm not talking about those extremes. I'm talking about where we have people who are just feeling okay physically, but emotionally, psychologically, they're in such a downer all the time because they're trying to recreate themselves. Think about our recreation, how our habits are we recreate ourselves by going to places. And where's the most popular of these places? Well, take a look at Las Vegas. Have you ever looked at that place? You know what's really fun to me is whenever I hear people who tell me that they have gone to Las Vegas and they won. Now, here's a real simple thing that you can do. If you ever think that somebody can go to Las Vegas and win, just go and stand in the middle of Las Vegas, anywhere you want. You can even go stand on the hill near Las Vegas and take a look at all of those casinos and those hotels. Now, let me tell you something. They didn't build those hotels and casinos by people coming and renting a $29.95 room. They built those because people lose money. And every chandelier, every crystal that you see, all the nice carpeting and all the nice rooms are courtesy of the dollars that people pump into machines, play on the tables, and gamble away. And there are millions and billions of dollars that are exchanged every single year in that city. And all for what? For an illusion. I mean, think about it. We are recreating a life based on that illusion, right? Because what do you got over there? It's all this phony thing. I mean, you go and you tip somebody a couple dollars to open up a door. And we have different ways. I'm not just picking on people in Las Vegas. We do this all the time. We do it in church, don't we? Yeah? Okay, it's easy for me to pick on Las Vegas. I'll pick on the church. We do it in the church all too often. We recreate realities. We say that this person is worthy of our attention. This person, look at him. He's being now recreated within the framework of what the church says is important. In other words, he has given his dollars to us. You look at some churches where you've got all kinds of names and plastered all over. There's one church in Glendale. It's like so interesting. Every seat cushion, every place that you look has a name on it. And what have we done? We have convinced people that it's okay to show off. We have convinced people that this is the reason why you give. Rather than the effects of charity, we want to show that you give to get your name on something. And we sell this illusion. We sell this phony life, just as we sell Las Vegas, just as we sell all kinds of opportunities to recreate. So that if you're living a downer life, so that if you're not doing too well, if things have been going really wrong, you can go and you can give money to a church and they will make you feel very good. They'll put you on a pedestal. Despite what Christ teaches us, that when you give, give in secret, so your right hand doesn't know what your left does, so that your heavenly Father will reward you. Because if people reward you, what's left for God to reward you? So forget about that. Christ has said that, but that doesn't matter. What we need to do is we need to show that we can recreate that person. We can make an image. We can give this phony image, just as Las Vegas gives us an opportunity to feel different about ourselves, to feel good about ourselves, where we can go and we can tip and be a high roller and just for a few days have a fantasy. So too, the church many times builds on this idea of fantasy. Think about it for a moment. It's the same fantasy as Las Vegas. We've recreated what the Christian should be. Rather than the virtues of self-denial, of sacrificing, of giving, of pick up your cross and follow me as Christ commands, of reaching out to the helpless and the small, the lonely, the people who have no hope, the destitute. We've substituted that with this idea that, okay, here's your checkbook, write it out, and we will applaud you because you're putting a dome on a building, because you are helping with this endowment fund, because you are doing this or that project. And these are very, these are necessary evils. I'm not denying that. You do need money. Hey, this show needs money. Everything needs money. And we're all saying that we're doing God's work. But you can't substitute. You can't substitute the word of God for the words of men. And so many times we're doing exactly that. We're doing exactly that. And I want you to hear my inclusive language, because I'm not going to sit here and talk about others. I'm not talking about another church. If the church is doing it, I am part of that church, right? So I am just as guilty. I'm not going to be sitting here and saying that, hey, look how bad it is. Hey, we are all guilty of doing the same. I mean, how many times have we applauded for people who have basically written out a check and forgotten about all the compassion that needs to go along with that check? And this is a different kind of recreation, recreating the self so that we can pretend that these are the people that exemplify the Christian lifestyle. And all we're doing is we're just discounting the Christian lifestyle, what Christianity means. And so rather than sit back and say, hey, these are the problems, I want to present you with some solutions. And the solution is no farther than your life, than yourself. Because if we are part of the problem, we also can be part of the solution. And it begins with this idea of vacation. There's no better time. You call it right now. You want to say that it's in the summer. I know those of you in South America, hit that little pause button right now on this podcast and then listen to this in 6 months when it's your summer over there. No. You know what I'm getting at. It doesn't matter about any of the seasons. What matters is our ability to really understand who we are in this life. And the understanding is as simple as this vacation idea. We take vacations to recreate ourselves, to have recreation. What does God do? Does God take a vacation from us? In fact, in Jesus' unfailing words, he says, I am with you till the end of the ages. He doesn't say, I'm with you only on weekdays. I'm only with you on Sundays. He doesn't say, I'm with you during this particular season. I am with you always until the end of the ages. So that as much as we take vacations from God, God never takes a vacation from us. Now, begin from that point. Begin with that simple premise that we are so important that God is with us. How much more our life must reflect that importance? That if God thinks we are so important, how much more we need to believe the importance of our lives and the importance of who we are. And if you've got that understanding that you are important, your life is valuable, then it isn't a fantasy. Okay, now, take the next step. What do we do? I'm going to give you something really simple to do. It's a fantastic little read. I just did it 2 days ago. I stumbled upon this book, very small little booklet, I should say. It's all but 44 pages. It's called The Other Wise Man. It is by Van Dyke. It was written about 100 years ago. Definitely a must read. Okay, I'm going to suggest it to you and do it right now. In fact, we will put a link on our show notes. My dad introduced me to this book many years ago, and I had forgotten about it. I think I read it back in high school, and I just stumbled upon it just a couple days ago, and I said, oh, I've got to read this. And interestingly enough, I downloaded it from Google Books, and there is a preface in it by the author. And in the preface, it's a preface to this edition of the book, and he says this story has been translated, and he lists about a handful of languages, among which is Armenian. Unusual, because he's talking about some of the major languages, and he says that among those 5 or 6 that he remembers, he says it's been translated into Armenian. And I recalled that it was one of the stories that my grandmother had told me. And my dad had subsequently had pushed me to read this book. And I read it the other day. It's a quick read. It's a 1-hour read. Sit down and do it. because the insight that comes with it, the punchline that is there, is so important. It really puts things in perspective of why we live. You don't need to read heavy-duty books. It's a very small one that gives you this idea of why we are here. That despite all of the difficulties that you go through, there is a purpose to your life, and that purpose is so clear. It's one that is God-ordained, and God has given us that purpose. I'm not going to ruin the punchline for you. Do read it. Okay, that's the beginning point. Now, after you read that, you got to say, okay, I need to get involved. I need to plug myself in. And there are so many opportunities to really shine God's love in all that you do. There are opportunities to help different organizations. But even beyond that, help the people around you. You know, I'm all for helping out organizations. Certainly as a priest of the church, I'm always out there trying to get people to help the organized efforts that we have. And whatever they may be, if it's in the church life, it's for a rally for Darfur, if it's a walk for breast cancer, whatever you need to do, God bless you and give you the strength to do it. But don't discount the very simple things that you can do around you, extending yourself to your loved ones. And you'll find that this process of recreation, of recreation, is also very exhilarating, and it gives you that opportunity that vacations do. They renew you. They give you an opportunity to stop, meditate, contemplate, and then chart your course forward. And so just like a vacation, you have an opportunity to recreate. But it begins within yourself, independent of any geography, independent of where you are. You begin by vacating the things that don't matter in your life. By vacating those things, you now accept the things that do matter in your life, and that is to love, to share, to reach out to others. And those are all doable. Those are all within your grasp. It means vacating the old personality, and accepting the new. And what are we talking about here? We're talking about the cornerstone of life itself. Basically, the health, the happiness that you have in your heart, the ability to be all that God intends you to be. To recreate. In other words, the creation that you are, God's creation, you now have an opportunity to recreate. Take this challenge. Look, it's really simple. It's a 1, 2, 3 kind of thing. Read that story that I told you about, the other wise men. See how it applies to your life. Vacate the old. Apply it to your life. The very basic teaching of Christ to reach out and to love others. Well, here's Ani with today's bubbles. She's got one about happiness as well. And I'll be back right afterwards, okay?
Today's spiritual bubble is called The Secret of Happiness, an excerpt from The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. A certain shopkeeper sent his son to learn about the secret of happiness from the wisest man in the world. The lad wandered through the desert for 40 days and finally came upon a beautiful castle high atop a mountain. It was there that the wise man lived. Rather than finding a saintly man, though, our hero, on entering the main room of the castle, saw a hive of activity. Tradesmen came and went, people went conversing on the corners, and a small orchestra was playing soft music, and there was a table covered with platters of the most delicious food in that part of the world. The wise man conversed with everyone, and the boy had to wait for 2 hours before it was his turn to be given the man's attention. The wise man listened attentively to the boy's explanation of why he had come, but told him that he didn't have time just then to explain the secret of happiness. He suggested that the boy look around the palace and return in 2 hours. "Meanwhile, I want to ask you to do something," said the wise man, handing the boy a teaspoon that held 2 drops of oil. "As you wander around, carry the spoon with you without allowing the oil to spill." The boy began climbing and descending the many stairwells of the palace, keeping his eyes fixed on the spoon. After 2 hours, he returned to the room where the wise man was. "Well," asked the wise man, Did you see the Persian tapestries that are hanging in my dining hall? Did you see the garden that it took the master gardener 10 years to create? Did you notice the beautiful parchments in my library? The boy was embarrassed and confessed that he had observed nothing. His only concern had been not to spill that oil that the wise man had entrusted to him. Then go back and observe the marvels of my world, said the wise man. You cannot trust a man if you don't know his house. Relieved, the boy picked up the spoon and returned to his exploration of the palace, this time observing all of the works of art on the ceilings and the walls. He saw the gardens, the mountains all around him, the beauty of the flowers, and the taste with which everything had been selected. Upon returning to the wise man, he related in detail everything he had seen. "But where are the drops of oil I entrusted to you?" asked the wise man. Looking down at the spoon he held, the boy saw that the oil was gone. "Well, there is only one piece of advice I can give you," said the wisest of wise men. "The secret of happiness is to see all the marvels of the world, and never to forget the drops of oil on the spoon." This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, honey. Wow. I mean, tell me about it, huh? Listen to all this stuff that goes on over here. We talk about recreation and vacations, and then about the marvels of the world, including some oil on a spoon. I mean, we've ran the whole gamut, haven't we? That's what it's about. You're on the next step. I know. Some of you are going to rewind that one, right? I know it. I know. It requires a rewind. It requires another listen. But great bubble, as always. Thank you, Ani. And here's Susie to put us into focus about... I almost feel guilty asking you to make this announcement at this point, but go for it.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. We thank you for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting, and we're proud to tell you that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The next step is entering homes, workplaces, and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion to a waiting world. We appreciate your responses to this message and always look forward to your words of encouragement. You can address your comments to feedback@epostle.net or via our website at epostle.net. Every week consistently for the past 4 years, we have brought the next step to you as a gift. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. You may also mail a check to Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center to 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. Please be assured that your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, please take a moment to tell your friends about the next step. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, as well as on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. We're excited about this ministry, and we invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie, wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazgen.
How do you do that? Right on that last chord. Very nice. Well, as I said a few minutes ago, there is a necessary evil in all of this, and that necessary evil happens to do a lot of good work. And when you do make a donation to Epostle, when you do make a donation to this ministry, I'm sorry, we're not going to be blowing too many horns. We may blow a small one, you know, here or there. But it's not about you. It's about getting God's work done, doing God's work in a very special way, something that we feel very close to our heart, that this tradition has been handed down to us through the ages, and it's one of the most ancient faiths that we have, Armenian Orthodoxy. And today when we polish it up, we realize that we are the inheritors of this beautiful faith in Christ Jesus. And we have this opportunity now to spread it out. Spread it out in what we're calling armadoxy. In other words, let's strip away some of the trappings that are there and really get to the core belief, the core faith, that all of life is a gift from God and each of our lives is important. We are here on this, in this planet, we are here in this world to share the love that God has placed in our heart with one another. That's how simple it is. And once we start doing this, we have opportunities to share on a worldwide scale. Listen to what Susie is saying. It is very important. We are now expanding. I'm very happy to say that we just opened up a new YouTube channel. It hasn't been widely publicized. We're looking for an unveiling probably in the next few weeks, but as Next Step listeners, you can definitely tune in. It is YouTube/Armadoxy, and it happens to have a bunch of shows that we've been filming since the beginning of the year. This is done for the Western Diocese. They are small little clips where I do a lesson of the week, and you can pick up those lessons. There are now some like 26 or 27. We're at the midpoint of the year. And you get added if you become a subscriber to that page. It is free, of course. You get a notice. You get a notice once a week that tells you the new film has been put up, a new message has been put up. And these are small little messages that project out this message of armadoxy. I'm hoping that you'll grab onto those and do share them. Please, please do share not only this podcast, but all of the resources that we put and make available on epostle.net. All of this is made possible through your donations and, most importantly, through your prayers. This last section of today's show, I wanted to introduce some ideas that I hope that within the next few weeks we'll be able to pick up on, we'll engage in some kind of a dialogue with you, the listeners, but at least to share some ideas, because I know more and more people are asking about it, and more we're seeing that it's becoming a popular issue. Just the other day, I passed by this magazine. It's called Intelligence Report, published by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Right on the cover, it says Jihad Against Islam. And it talks about 10 years after 9/11 attacks on the U.S., a second wave of anti-Muslim hatred is sweeping the country. And it says this time the outrage seems largely ginned up by politicians and others seeking to capitalize on America's fears. And it's interesting because more and more you realize that, you know, fear is such an incredible tool, a powerful tool to get people rallied around whatever you want them to believe. I just heard Rush Limbaugh a couple days ago, or was it today? It was earlier this morning. He threw out something. As you know, here in the United States, August 2nd is a date that is coming up where the government basically runs out of money. And so they're in a big debate between the two parties, Republicans and Democrats, on how to extend the spending limits that they've had and basically to fund the government beyond the date of August 2nd. August 2nd is this magical date that's coming up where the government runs out of money. And, of course, things will work out, as they always do. But I heard Rush Limbaugh this morning or yesterday, and he was saying something like, August 1st happens to be the beginning of Ramadan. August 3rd happens to be Obama's birthday. So figure it out for yourself. There it is, August 2nd, right in the middle. Now, what Ramadan has to do with Obama's birthday, what it has to do with the government running out of money, it's just happens to be on those few days. But listen how it's phrased. You've got Obama, you've got Ramadan, the Islamic feast, right? And then you've got running out, the government going bankrupt. I mean, put it all together and you could play off of people's fear, which he does very brilliantly, I think. I think he's brilliant when it comes to putting these things together because he gets people agitated and gets them, well, that fear plays for what he wants to do. And as Christians, we're invited to really do away with fear, aren't we? I mean, the opposite of fear is what? Faith. is to have that faith, to have that faith in God that he is in control, and to put that fear on a back burner. And yet that fear is very real, especially when it comes to talking about different religions. The plurality that we're facing right now in our countries is unlike any we've ever seen before. Before it was very, it was homogenous, wasn't it, inside the communities, inside of our small little ghettos, so to speak. We knew who was who, and life continued very nicely. But now you've got all kinds of things going on. And so this intelligence report says jihad against Islam. Well, what's going on over there? A couple weeks ago, Newsweek magazine, right on the cover, had Mormonism, had an expose about the Mormons in the United States and throughout the world, and how they're enjoying a new revival, so to speak, of members coming in and joining up what we originally called a cult, the Mormons. And this is not a value judgment, this is just basic definition. I mean, what we call a Christian is defined back in the 4th century by the Council of Nicaea, saying that a Christian follows these tenets, that this is what a Christian is, somebody who believes in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and believes in the universal apostolic Holy Church. And these are the tenets of Christianity. And if you're not part of this, it's not to say that you're any less or any better, but it's just to say that you can't be defined under Christianity. And here we have a new group, relatively new group, who's calling themselves Christian and is being accepted as a Christian group. And it was a very interesting expose, because you're seeing that people are falling in. I mean, we're understanding that right now, not only the Mormons, but the Muslims. Islam is the fastest growing religion, I think, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And what are the implications? What are the implications for Christianity, especially in the Arab countries, especially in the Armenian world, where you've got so many Armenians that are really being thrown out of these areas, not violently, but because it's finished. Life in these diaspora centers in the Middle East is basically finished, and people are opting for economic prosperity and putting away those thoughts of any kind of thoughts of preserving an area just basically for the sake of national identity or national treasures. Anyway, the implications are many. Certainly, I don't want to seem pretentious that we're going to solve them in the course of a podcast or in a segment of a podcast, but I'm throwing this out because I think that this dialogue needs to be started within the context of the Armenian Orthodox faith. I think that we have orthodoxy over here that is true to the tenets of Jesus Christ, to the ideas of peace, stability. What does it mean to love thy neighbor in the context of hatred? Hatred of neighbor in the context of intolerance. I think there's a lot of dimensions that need to be explored and need to be talked about. So I'm throwing this out as the last segment of today's show, and promise you that in the next few weeks we are going to be exploring these areas. But I invite you to get involved. Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. And please, you know, I've made this mistake in the past. I haven't invited you to tell me if you'd like your comments to be read on the air, with your name or without your name. You can please do that. If you would like your comments read on the air, I would be happy to share them with our listeners. Just drop me a note and say that, yes, please include this today. You may include this, and you may use my name, or you may say that I want to stay anonymous, and that's completely up to you, but I would appreciate it. I would appreciate it, because you do have such insight. At least the emails and letters that I do get, I really appreciate them, and I want to share them with our listeners. So that's coming up next week. I'm really up against the clock. Ken's flagging me down, and he's saying he's got to be off to the races today. Okay. I don't know where he's off to. Anyway, I'm gonna end it right here and leave it at that, and invite you to join us again next week. Until then, please join us on the net. We are at epostle.net, and you can find today's podcast as well as every podcast we've done since the beginning of time. Also in hisshoes.org. That's the mothership, you know? That's where all the activities are happening and everything that we're doing. We happen to be at St. Peter Armenian Church and Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and I'm very excited because this Sunday coming up, the 17th, I'm going to be celebrating the Divine Liturgy. I haven't been there for about a month and a half, and really looking forward to reconnecting with all of our friends and supporters, and especially those people who are in prayer and communion with us. Please join us if you happen to be in the Glendale area. You're always welcome. And if you're not too intimidated by Carmageddon, look it up. It's a LA thing. For the wonderful people who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitation, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net, or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.